Shavuot Tov. Good morning.
Shavuot Tov, Hanok. Good morning.
How are you, Jasmine?
Good, and you?
Doing well. We're waiting for two things, another person and the time to get to 1:30.
Yeah, it's still one more minute.
So, do you have a good Shabbat?
Great. Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. It was really
but
nice.
What about
energy
you?
Yesterday. It was nice energy yesterday. It really was.
I wasn't able to be at the third meal and have Bella, but I was doing it with my friends here.
Oh, good.
And they don't speak English, so it's like, you know, but, you know, they were happy.
You need to translate for them.
Yeah, I guess the next time I'll try to do that. But I forgot to say the Eliyahu Hanavi 130 times.
Well, next week it will come. Give you another opportunity.
I hopefully it comes every Habdalah.
It does.
I get a handout that Hannah sent me. Very good. She sent me very nice material.
She said she was going to send me one, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, she did. Part of it was Habdalah ritual, 130 times saying, you know, printed the Eliyahu Hanavi Sakol Atzov and the name of, it was very nice material. Very good.
Well, the time has reached that nobody else has come on that I'm aware of.
I think somebody did. Connie.
I think so too, but.
There you go.
How are you, Connie?
Good.
Shavuot Tov.
Thank you.
Please join us in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach. Jasmine, please mute your phones. Well, on the recording, there's a time delay that makes it difficult for people. Na Ibor, Dor Kevavat, Shamren. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem taharen rahamei sitaka tamid
bom.
Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. The letters of the month of Av. The kaf that created the planet Shemesh, the planet Chama, the planet we call the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Arye, the lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin
Kadosh,
Tet Kuf Bet, Tet Nun Ayin. Yachid Ge'e, Lamcha Pene, Zopre Kiddushata, Yud Gimel Amed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea, Talumot, Shim Kufav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation, and we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'ral Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alachim, Noseyawon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat, the energy of the year of the goat, by studying two verses from the Tanakh that have the same energy. We will start with Olashem Yehud. And the first verse that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bitilu Urchimu Chilu Chilu Urchimu Leata Lashem Yud He Bavav He Bihuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. Tzod Tzaduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the five words, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we studied that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai. Yo hey wahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that we connect to connect to this energy. The first verse is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehashib et kol ha'olot vayechaskum achechem ha'levim ad gelot hamlacha V'yad yitkachu ha-kohanim, ki ha-levim yishrei levav, להתקדש מהכהנים. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hey 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 A Ka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first that we will study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam Asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem Eilai el nachon V'halachti itchem V'chayayim yeshno V'aretz v'chipasti Oto b'kol alfei yichuda. And the third is from Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach Yoved Roav Yomru Ayo. The verse 5774, excuse me, the year 5774, has only one verse that connects to its energy. Its energy is peace in the Middle East. The verse that connects to this energy is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom leami liYisrael untati v'shakan tata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It comes from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Tiku Chabarihu Koma de Aved Leela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Vileila Mila bialma tivaye barnash ledach yaleya mineya ulanaga eya kalana kehaku ovada dikshot inun wikola itstirich bialma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We will speak the names out loud using the root vowels of each letter. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo ta ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta. He zayo alada va awa he hea yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wa wa pehe la nu la he ha, yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a a, yo e ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he ame, ra re he a, yo yo za, he 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la he, sa a la a re yo, a shi la me yo he, wa he wa anu yo, he he. Hey, hey, she, a, me, me, nu, nu, a, nu, yo, ta, me, be, hey, hey, wa, yo, nu, me, me, yo, yo, la, hey, re, hey, me, ta, re, wa, me, be, yo, hey, hey, a, nu, a, me, hey, yo, ta, me, be, me, nu, ko, a, yo, a, he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. Now to connect to the 72 names from the Sadikim in the same manner, with the root vowel of each letter. Wa 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 yo yo yo, sa be te a a me. Me be shi la yo he, anu a ka me ta. He he yo anu da, la he wa he me a. Yo ta la me re he, he yo yo he me me. Wa 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 ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo. Me nu he 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 wa, nu yo he he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he, re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re, yo yo wa la he he, ka a ko me nu da, a nu yo he wa me, re he a yo he za. Me he she he me ka ha, wa wa la yo yo he, sa a la a re yo, a la me ta he, wa he wa da la yo, he yo she a la me, nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za re, wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo, ta he be me ka ko, a la a he he wa, re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The Sadikim who left this day, which is the 28th day of Av, is Rabbi Yitzhak Akrish and Rabbi Abraham Yaakov ben Rabbi Meir HaKohen Pam. And this today is also the birth date of the Magid de Mezrich, who was the political force. He took over when the Baal Shem Tov passed away, and he was the political force that spread the movement of the Baal Shem Tov throughout Europe. And I will mention that tonight, which is the 29th day of Av, is considered Yom Kippur Katan, the small Yom Kippur. And there is a practice, especially on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is what tonight and tomorrow is all about. There is a practice to study Tikkun that was prepared by the Ben Ish Chai and then translated into English recently. And that link is available on the Hilulah page. And I recommend that people take a look at it and decide if that's something they want to do, especially this Rosh Chodesh, although it is recommended to do it every Rosh Chodesh. The Tzaddikim who leave tonight are Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosef Zundel Salenter, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Alter, Rabbi Eliezer Zusha ben Rabbi Yisrael Abraham from Portugal. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Our class today can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Actually, my mistake, it's on the Unique Astrological Times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. And if you happen to be using a portable cell phone or a tablet, you may find that link at the bottom of your page. When you open that up, scroll down slightly to where it says preparation for the month of Elul and the Tishrei holidays. And there you can find the link from the preparation link on this Unique Astrological Times link. Please scroll to class 5, Slichot, and that will be our class for today. Prior to this class, we're going to connect to the meditation that the Ari has suggested to us that we should be doing during this period from today and previous to today through Yom Kippur. Yowada, yowada, hey, yowada, hey, wa, wa, yowada, hey, wa, wa, hey, yowada, yowada, hey, yowada, hey, wa, wa, yowada, hey, wa, wa, hey, yowada, yowada, hey, yowada, hey, wa, wa, yowada, hey, wa, wa, hey, yowada, yowada, hey, yowada, hey, wa, wa, yowada, hey, wa, wa, hey, yowada, yowada, hey, yowada, hey, wa, wa, yowada, hey, wa, wa, hey, and we will say the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach in a whisper. So, Slichot, we relate to Hashem in different modes during our process of Teshuvah. One is as a father to a son, and of course a son to a father. And this method of relating to Hashem is usually done on Yom Kippur. The father does not expect his son to help him to realize his goals. In a certain respect, he even expects his son to set out on a new path and is curious to see how his own nuclear potential will find new expression in his son under different conditions and in a different generation. However, the deepest insult to parents is to forget them. Often children desire to shake off the ropes that bind them to their parents. This natural inclination is expressed in the verse in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Thus a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cling to his wife. For a child to mature, he must necessarily disengage from his total dependence on his parents. For this reason, the Torah tells us to always honor our parents. Even though a child must strive for independence, he is obliged to always continue to honor his parents and to give them weight in his life. In Hebrew, the word for honor is kabed, which shares a root with the word kaved, which means weight. When a son continues to honor his parents, he gives them weight, he gives them recognition, and they remain eternally in his consciousness. Solidity and weight. What do we really mean by giving your parents weight? The words for father, son, in Hebrew are Av and Ben. When these words are written as an abbreviation, they spell Evan, which means a rock. Thus, the image of a rock creates associations with the father-son relationship. The two main features of a rock are its solidity and its weight. The father gives his children solidity, firm faith in Hashem and in their heritage, hopefully. The children give their father weight when the father sits at the Shabbat table, surrounded by all his children. They add potency and mass to his very presence. It's also important that you hear your father, hear your parents. You discuss with them what's going to happen. It doesn't mean that you will accept what they're telling you as valid for you. It just means that you will respect them sufficiently to ask their opinion and give weight to their opinion, because they are your parents who brought you forth into this world. Our relationship with Hashem. Once a person senses that his main sin is not in actually transgressing, but rather in his ignoring and forgetting Hashem. Do we forget Hashem? Yes, we do. If a person does honest soul searching, he realizes that at a certain point in his relationship with Hashem, he has left Hashem behind and created his own world in which Hashem is not the focal point. He has fashioned his world into a fortress where he can continue to safely live his life far from Hashem, even while performing the mitzvot. Without the need to awaken the memory of where he came from and who created him. Pardon us. When we asked Hashem to forgive us for leaving him out of our lives, we say, Shlach lanu. pardon us. The letters of the word shlach, samach lamed chet, are the same as the word for eradicate, chazal. Deep in his heart, a person knows that he is the one who should be nullified, to atone for his inclination to nullify anyone who impinges on his private world and demands his attention. We thus beg that Hashem eradicate our haughty feeling of yesh, of being something, and will replace our rigid and contracted heart of stone with a soft, expansive heart that has room in it for others. Even the common expression, pardon me, points to this concept. When we say pardon me to another person, our intent is to ask the other not to be offended that we infiltrated his world, upsetting his feeling of infinite expansion. In other words, when we ask for pardon, we are expressing sensitivity to the reality of the other, giving him honor and a place in our world on his own terms. When we ask Hashem for pardon, we ask him to forgive us for not recognizing his all-encompassing place in our world. As a king to a servant, and a servant to a king, and this is taking place usually on Rosh Hashanah, but it's all related to Slichot, the ritual that we are discussing today, which lasts in the Sephardic tradition from the beginning of Elul to through Yom Kippur. The king-servant relationship. As we learned in the previous chapter, the father-son relationship is exemplified by the honor and recognition that the son gives his father. The king, the servant relationship is different. The king does not need recognition from his subjects. It is even beneath his honor to request it. The king has a master plan. He desires to lead and to actualize the demands of his subjects, discipline, and obedience. It is specifically when we nullify ourselves to the king that we are able to be part of an endeavor that is beyond our own individual horizon. An endeavor that is a vital goal in the king's master plan. Our discipline and devotion to our lofty and admired king means that we are channeling our lives to ideals above and beyond our personal reality. We understand before whom we live, and our very existence receives meaning and stability. In our dependence on the king, we no longer live just for our own narrow and disengaged affairs. Rather, our entire life has a broad and driving purpose, which will compel us to give an accounting of our successes and failures back to the king. The sin against the king. To sin against Hashem, our king, is to rebel against him. This rebellion is the demand of our own small ego to live our limited lives without boundaries. We demand to do whatever we please without considering the big picture, how our actions affect not only our own lives, but the lives of those that surround us, and ultimately the divine plan for the entire world. Making Hashem our king. When we relate to Hashem as our king, we realize that only he can extricate us from the complexities of our lives and bring us to a plane above and beyond our small personal desires. When we fulfill the king's directives, our lives become meaningful, even when we do not grasp why certain events occur and where they are leading. Our lives have become lives of duty. Through God's directives, Pikudot, to us, he connects to us and relates intimately to our lives. Pikida, forgive us. When we ask Hashem, our King, to forgive us, we say, Mechalanu, forgive us. To ask forgiveness of a king is to ask him to forgive a debt that was not paid. The king enters our consciousness from outside our world, demanding and commanding that we fulfill directives that do not always seem relevant to our private lives. He does not expect us to totally identify with his desires, and therefore he exerts pressure and strength to affect us. We ask of Hashem to understand our difficult situation created by his pressure, forego our debt to him, and to give us a fresh chance to serve him. Our relationship to Hashem as King is intrinsically a relationship of some distance. When we ask the king to forgive us, we admit to him that we do not have the strength or the courage to stand before him on a constant basis. We ask him to bear with us while we are distant from him, and to be patient with us while we strive to serve him with greater devotion. We also relate to Hashem as a husband to a wife, and of course a wife to a husband. And this takes place on the holiday of Sukkot. The husband-wife relationship do not be concerned about the masculine gender being used or the feminine gender. They're interchangeable in this section. The sin against one spouse is the sin of insensitivity, the lack of willingness and openness to actively identify with him or her. What pains a spouse more than anything else is when the rules are being kept and when consideration for his uniqueness is shown, but there is no real interest in his inner thoughts and deepest feelings. An outsider might be most impressed with the level of mutual consideration that the couple projects. Deep in his heart, though, the offended spouse desires more than just mutual consideration. He wishes to ascend to a point where he can truly share the intricacies of his soul, his desires, with his beloved mate. Married life, with its daily frictions and demands, invites one to build walls around the depths of our souls, to define boundaries and to admit that his spouse is totally different than he and beyond his sinned understanding. Furthermore, he adds, it is her privilege to be just the way she is. This approach is legitimate only if the separations are used as tools to release superficial tensions and to unlock one's inner world. If the couple identifies these separations as the strong foundation of their lives together, if they despair of immersion in the inner soul of the other, a persistent inner sadness will erode their feeling of togetherness, and their love for each other will fade, God forbid. Chas v'shalom. Exploitation and enthusiasm. While the father and son relationship is defined by the tension between disregard and recognition, the relationship between husband and wife is defined by the tension between exploitation and enthusiasm. The spouse expects his mate to relate to him as he is dear to himself, to be excited to meet someone new and different who wants to immerse herself in his very being. The thought that his mate may see him as a depersonalized object, conveniently placed for use in her life, spiritually, this is death for him. This is killing him. Further, more than the spouse fears being exploited with total disregard for his or her inner experience, he or she fears exploitation of his inner experience itself. He fears or she fears that his awakening toward his spouse and his devotion to her will be met with the cynicism of cool practicality. God as our spouse. When we sin toward God as our spouse, we may remain faithful to his mitzvot without internalizing the experience of him in our lives, and without trying to identify with him. We do not meet Hashem with enthusiasm, allowing him to permeate our very being, to enter into our deepest experience, and to transform it. When we don't relate properly to Hashem as our spouse, we also do not truly pray to him. Deep down, we do not believe that he is actually interested in us and in our innermost desires. Cleanse us. This type of sin needs kapara, cleansing. Married life demands continual, detailed cleansing and examination. Even a small insult reveals an internal, practically essential coldness and unwillingness to be overly involved in the world of the other. This coldness descends to the very depths of the other's soul. He feels that his efforts to give of his essence to his mate have been exploited, while his spouse has not awakened in return. On a deeper level, we can understand that there is a divine plan, the divine presence that we call the Shekhinah. This is Hashem, but a female aspect. The Shekhinah dwells between the married couple. It is his divine presence that allows peace and affection to reign between the two diverse souls. If we are not sensitive to God's Shekhinah, it simply leaves. To merit his divine presence in our midst, we must constantly cleanse and purify ourselves, examining the intricacies of our actions and thoughts, and creating a true dwelling place for him in our hearts and ultimately in our world. Slichot. The Slichot ritual is performed during the month of Elul. The Sephardim start on the second of Elul. which is this Thursday. And the Ashkenazim start on the Motzi Shabbat after the last Shabbat prior to Rosh Hashanah. Most people think that Slichot is a request for forgiveness, since the word Slicha means forgiveness. The Kabbalists teach a totally different understanding, a deeper understanding, a more truthful understanding. The shoresh of Slichot is Slach, Samach Lamed Chet. The gematria of Slach is 98, which is Tzadi Chet. Tzach, Tzadi Chet, means cleansing. And this is what the Slichot ritual is all about. Cleansing. Cleansing our souls. The tools of cleansing used in the Slichot ritual are, one, the prayers are in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. Two, the lower 13 attributes of mercy. And we have been using that to separate between the right and left column energy of the Tree of Life, which is an aspect of cleansing. And three, the blowing of the shofar. The order of the Slichot ritual, I'm going to go through it in the last few minutes of our class. There is a simplified Slichot ritual. The Orthodox tradition has a book of Aleph Bet order prayers and songs. This is a simplified version. It takes about 45 minutes to go through with proper Kavanah. But learning about this order and understanding all of these three different aspects of cleansing is helpful in doing the Slichot. All Slichot rituals start with the Ashrei Psalm. This psalm is based on the order of the Aleph Bet, and we have learned in Kabbalah that when we say the order of the Aleph Bet, we are actually putting our lives in order. The only reason that chaos continues in our life after this is said is because we do not permanently change ourselves with this procedure. Number two, when in a minyan, we say the Chatzi Kaddish, which is used as an elevator to either rise or, as in this case, to lower ourselves ritually. The third step is a song, Lecha Hashem, and this connects us to the Sefirah of Bina through the gematria of 50 of the first word, Lecha, which means either to go or to go for yourself. Bina acts as an energy store to provide the energy of cleansing. Four. We say the 13 attributes of mercy. We said it this morning with the Ana B'Koach. We'll say it a number of times in every Slichot ritual. And there is a link here for a deeper understanding of the 13 attributes, if you are interested in learning more. Five, there is a song, Shema Kolenu. This is a confession of our negative attributes and leads into the bidui, the confession. An alternative translation of the traditional bidui by Rabbi Abraham Sutton is also, we have a link for that on our webpage. Number 7, when we say a prayer in the order of the Aleph-Bet, that prayer name is Aseh Lema'an. Number 8, Anenu is a translation of Anenu is answer us. It is in the order of the Aleph-Bet, and it is a song and a prayer. Number 9, there are 3 songs that do not follow the Aleph-Bet. The purpose of this is to allow our souls time to recover from the slight pressure. I don't want to say it's coercion. The slight pressure of the songs of the Aleph-Bet that we have been saying. There must always be free choice. The next song is Atanu Lechalot, allowing us to confront our own negativity. And then we again sing the 13 attributes of mercy. Number 12, there is a song by Yomer David. It said, while grounding our own negativity, which is done by leaning our forehead on our left arms, not with any clothing interfering between the skin of our arms and the head of our forehead. Number 13, the next song is Shomer Yisrael, Guard Israel, which is a request for the Creator's mercy. Number 14, having prayed sitting, standing, and bowing, we no longer know what to do. After asking for cleansing and mercy, we also do not know what else we can do, so we ask the Creator to do for us what is the correct thing for us to do. We abdicate ourselves, nullify ourselves. And if we are in a minyan, it's followed by the Kaddish. The elevator prayer. Are we going up or are we going down? This is the basic structure. I hope you'll join us. We will be doing this every day except Shabbat, starting on Thursday, the 24th of August. We will be doing it every day at 7:30 in the morning, West Coast time. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to unmute your phone so you can ask. If you have a question, you should be able to be heard now. If you're not being heard, press *6 on your phone. While I'm waiting for people to ask questions, and feel free to interrupt, I'm going to discuss some very important issues and schedules for this coming week. Monday around noon, West Coast time, there will be a full solar eclipse across America. That doesn't mean everybody in America will be able to see the full solar eclipse, but the energy, even a partial solar eclipse, that energy is going to affect us as we go into the month of Elul and for the next number of years. That solar eclipse represents new beginnings, just like the new year. Our classes, we will have a class this afternoon at 3 p.m. West Coast, where we will continue our preparation and our study of Teshuvah. We will be doing that all of this week. Monday, our 4:30 class will be a mini Zohar class. Our 7 o'clock class will be continuing study of Teshuvah. As Tuesday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our Rosh Chodesh Elul connection. Wednesday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. And at 8:30, we will have a beginning daily connection to the Tikkuni Zohar. It won't be long. It's at 8:30 West Coast time. But it is good to allow the letters of the Tikkuni Zohar to imprint on your soul during the month of Elul, to help cleanse your soul as part of the rituals to move into the months of Tishrei. Thursday at 4:30, we will continue our classes on Teshuvah. And also at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class in the Parasha of Shoftim. This coming Shabbat, oh, Friday, there's the two classes, the two special classes. One at 7:30 in the morning for Slichot, and one at 8:30 Friday evening for the Tikkuni Zohar. Saturday, our first class is at 6 p.m. It's for Havdalah and third meal, strengthening our immune system. And at 7 p.m., a Zohar class, followed by 8:30, a Tikkuni Zohar class. A week from today at 10:30, there is a special two-hour class to discuss the energy of the coming year, 5778, Tashin Ayin Chet. I strongly recommend everyone to listen to this class on a live basis, and if that's not possible, to make sure that you listen to it from the recording page. And you can find the recording page on the Revealed Matrix, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 19, the last row. You'll see a link to the recordings of all of our classes. Sunday afternoon, a week from today, there will not be the 3 o'clock class, but there will be a class at 8:30 for the Tikkuni Zohar, just as there was a class at 7:30 that Sunday morning for Slichot. Are there any questions? I wish you all a Shavua Tov, a good week, a week filled with peace. And I wish you all Shalom for this coming week and for this coming year. Shalom to all.
Shalom.